As we approach God's Word and His throne this morning, I ask you to bow your heads one more time with me as we ask for His blessing. Almighty Father in heaven, our gracious Lord and King, indeed we want to give you glory today. We want to listen to you today. So calm our minds, calm our hearts, that we may truly behold you, and that we may learn from you what you would have us do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The day had finally arrived. It's a day that I had been longing for seemingly my entire life up until that moment. I waited at the door, scanning the horizon, waiting for it to appear. I stood there, all dressed up in special clothes, saved for this very special day. My parents were there, and they were taking pictures to remember this momentous occasion, smiling from ear to ear. And I watched out the door, and finally my eyes found what they had been searching for. There it was. Like so many mornings before, I saw it rise up over the hill again. But this day, on this day, it would be different. This day, I wouldn't watch my sister leave without me anymore. On this day, I would get on the bus, too. For this was my first day of school. First day of kindergarten. I was so excited to go. You can see me there. Just excited. Just a few years ago. I hated to see my sister leave, so this day was very special. And if you look closely, I do believe that is a Dukes of Hazzard shirt that I had saved for this occasion. The bus arrived out in our country home, and I got on the bus and I looked around. Looked around the bus and I thought, there's giants everywhere on this bus. I went to a school in Iowa, a small school, where it was a K through 12 grade. So there was like adults that were there. They were huge. And I thought, what have I gotten myself into with this? So we made it to school, and we little ones were ushered in to a really cool and fun-looking room. Here were people my own size. My people were here. They had ushered the giants into some other rooms and hopefully were watching them very closely. They looked suspicious. But this was kindergarten. I looked around and I thought, this is going to be great. I saw my cousin and my friends that I knew. And I remember thinking back to my kindergarten days. Do you remember those days? Kindergarten? I remember my teacher still today, Mrs. Summers. Good times back there in kindergarten. But as I study God's Word, and as I think about God's will for us in our lives, I think maybe God wants all of us to go back to kindergarten. Today we have a very special ordination service that will take place at the close of our service today. Today we're going to be ordaining some of our new elders to the church. The role of the elder of a church is very important because they have accepted the call to be leaders in the church. And this morning, as we think about the call of the elder and God's call to all of us, I think we'll find that the call to serving God is very similar to the call of kindergarten and the teaching of kindergarten. For the calling of an elder or a ministry leader in the church is the calling to serve. Amen? Let's look and see if that's true. If you'd open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin with the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The calling of a leader is the calling to serve. Luke chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 26. So open up those Bibles, flip through the pages, or do some tapping on your phones, pads, or pods, whatever you have. Find Luke chapter 22, start in verse 26. Jesus is speaking here, and he says to his disciples, he said, so many leaders in this world, they lord it over others. But in verse 26, he says, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater? He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am one among you as one who serves. Jesus says to his followers, the greatest of you will be like the young. And in Luke chapter 9, just a few chapters before, we find these disciples arguing. They've been hanging out with Jesus, the greatest servant ever, and these guys are hanging out, arguing over who's going to be the greatest in his kingdom. Who's going to stand right next to him? Who's going to be the greatest? And then Jesus places a child, maybe a kindergartner, I don't know, places a child right in their midst, and he says in Luke chapter 9, verse 48, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great. We see right away that Jesus says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you got to go back to kindergarten. If we want to serve, if we want to minister for God, Jesus says, you have to be like the young. So let's look in God's word this morning about serving. And let's see if it corresponds to what we learned all those days ago when we first walked into that kindergarten room. If you turn with me to our scripture text for today, and thank you to Alan for reading that for us, turn to 1 Peter with me, chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 7. All the way to the back of your Bibles, in front of Revelation, in the books of John, you're going to find 1 and 2 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. And Peter writes, and he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Peter says, the end of all things is near. And he wrote those words 2,000 years ago. So what does that mean for me and you? Well, quite honestly, that means it's even nearer today, right? Quite simply, if it was near back then, what is it today? And he says, because of the nearness of the end, what should you do? He gives us instruction. And the first thing he says is to be watchful and serious in prayer, because the end is near. Are we a praying people today? Well, the first instruction that we learn in kindergarten, when you go there that first day, you learn very simple. The rule is, listen to the teacher, right? When you're in kindergarten. Prayer is accepting that we don't know it all. When we go into kindergarten, we realize very quickly, we don't know it all. Prayer means that we come to God with our need. And we have to come before our Creator humbly in order to listen to Him. And prayer should be more about listening than talking. Amen? Like the kindergartner, on the first day and every day of school, we must come to God ready to listen, especially here at the end of time. The second instruction that we find from Peter to those who will follow God, those who will serve, is in verse 8. It says, and above all these things, have fervent love for one another. It says, most importantly, be able to recite lots of scripture. Is that what he says? Now that's a good thing to be able to do, right? Most importantly, give a lot to the church. Is that what he says? No, that's important to do. But he says, most importantly, love one another. Have fervent love, not just, oh, I suppose I should like that person, or I should put up with that person, but fervently love them. In kindergarten, we learn to love, don't we? And you know how we learn to love in kindergarten? It's because they put us around other kids who sometimes aren't easy to love. That's when we first learned that not everybody is like our family. And our world doesn't revolve around us anymore. Sometimes it's hard to love in kindergarten. The call of the elder, the call to serve in the church, is the call to love. And this means, just like in school, God puts us into a church. Sometimes with people who are hard to love. Amen? Yeah. Now, of course, this is talking in general speaking, because Piedmont, of course, is that exception, where everyone here is easy to love. We're lovable all the time, right? Oh, maybe not. But that's why God puts us in the church, so that you learn how to love. So when someone comes along someday and steps on your toes in church, don't run home and never come back. So I'm never coming back to that. I'll go to this church down the way. That's not how church works. You stay in, you stick in, and you learn how to love. How do we learn to love in kindergarten? Well, it's very simple. You follow the rules in kindergarten. Rules like, don't hit people. That's a good rule for church leaders too, I think. Again, the parallels are this there. Don't take things that aren't yours. We learned that in kindergarten. Good rule for school and for church. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. That's God's rule for all of us, amen? And we follow the rules in kindergarten, there in that class, and we learn how to love others. Spelled out for us. And when we follow God's rules, we also learn how to love, amen? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. God is so wonderful that he doesn't just give us some nebulous thing, just love, love everybody. He tells us how to love. In our relationships, don't we tell the other person how to love us? Whether it's verbally or non-verbally, we have to communicate that. God told us how to love. As Seventh-day Adventists, we have focused on living out God's law so that we can be the most loving people on the planet. Sometimes we've lived out God's law and became the most unloving people on the planet. But his law should make us loving, because the law teaches us how to love God and how to love each other. But Jesus takes it even the next step. And there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, a wonderful verse from the Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter 6, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, verse 2, talks even more about God's law. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul writes and says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So folks, if we want to truly be law keepers today, if we want to love, we have to be willing to bear someone else's burden. But listen to me on this. No one can bear a burden unless someone is willing to share a burden. How many of us suffer in silence? How many of us, I don't want to be a bother to somebody else, so we just carry the load on our own? Or we think, oh no, it's just me and God, I'll just trust God to help me carry it. That's not biblical, friends. Paul says, bear one another's burdens, and no one can bear unless someone is brave enough to share. We as Christians are called to lean on each other. We're called to help each other. And as elders of the church, you who will be ordained today, you who have already been ordained, you're called to be there for the church. It's not just the pastors who bear the burdens of the church, amen? It's the elders too. And in reality, it's all of us. Another lesson of kindergarten that corresponds with this. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. And that's God's call for the church. Stay together. Carry each other's burdens. Learn to love each other. Don't go leaving when the tough times come, but hold on tight. Bear one another's burdens. There's more counsel from God's word from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. It says to be hospitable without grumbling. Elders are called to be servants, to be hospitable, to connect with others. That's why here at this church, our elders take their turns of being in our foyer to greet you and to say hello and to help with what you need when you come, to connect with the members. We learn hospitality in kindergarten too. You might not have realized that, but when you're in kindergarten, we learn those important things like play fair. It's an important lesson in kindergarten. Clean up your own mess. That's what you learn in kindergarten too. And that works for church as well. For elders and all of us, we need to learn that we don't clean others. Amen? We don't clean others. That's not our job. That's not what we're called to. Paul says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 4 that we do not clean other folks in the church. So if you want to turn to Romans chapter 14 and verse 4, Paul says, "Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." Not our job to clean up somebody else. It's our job to take them to Jesus. He does the cleaning. Our job is only to fish. He cleans the fish. What are some of the other things that we learn in kindergarten? Well, one of the important things you learn in kindergarten is don't hang upside down from the monkey bars while wearing a skirt. I don't really know how that applies to the Bible text today, but that's just good advice for all of us to remember. Well, what else do we learn from God's word about the calling for being a leader in God's church? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift," he's talking about a spiritual gift, "minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Verse 10 points out that we're supposed to take these gifts that God gives us and use them to serve others. Our spiritual gifts for ministry should be used. Why? Why do we use these gifts? Peter says it's to show that grace to somebody else. It's all about showing grace. This is where we start to learn about how to live for God. It's by using what God gives and says, "It's not for me. He gave it so that I can help you, someone else." The big rule of kindergarten, quite simple. Share everything. That's what we learn in kindergarten. It's the same for the church. All the way back there in kindergarten, we start to learn to have giving hearts, to help others, to serve. That's why you've been gifted here in the church, whether it's musically, whether it's with the ability to read or to pray or to help, whatever your gift is, it's been given to you. Both elders and I believe all members are called to use and to share what God has given to them to the benefit of others, to help others learn about grace. And I continue to be amazed by the generosity of church members. There are times as a pastor you get a call from someone who's in need. Sometimes it's financial need and you think, oh, what are we going to do? And it happens. And we have ministries set up for it, but sometimes the need is great. And I can remember the time when a member of the church found out about a church family that was in desperate need. This person contacted me and said, "Pastor, I heard what's going on. I'm going to give this amount of money to them to help this family in need." And I knew this person was not someone of great means. But they said, "I was helped once before when we were in trouble. And so now I'm going to help someone else." And all I could do was just praise God. Which brings us to our last point of the passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever." All our service should point to God. Amen. Never to ourselves and what we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." All we do, friends. In kindergarten, we learn to live a balanced life. Kindergarten, the rule there is eat some, drink some, draw some, paint some, sing and dance some, learn and work some. Sounds a lot like Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So time for everything. Our elders, each of us must live balanced lives. I had an elder one time years ago who got so involved in church work. He had important positions and I believe too many important positions. I talked to him about it. I said, I'm nervous about you. I'm nervous about this. He was a young man with a young family. He said, Pastor, I'm fine. I'm on fire. So I mistakenly let it go. And years later, his family fell apart. His marriage fell apart. He's just now realizing how he had hardened his heart while doing good things for God. We must have balance in our lives in order to glorify God, like Peter instructs. Another lesson from kindergarten? Good lesson. Take a nap every afternoon. Whether you want to or not, right? This one didn't want to go down, but she did. Man, we need to bring this back to adult life, amen? It's funny, when you're a kid, the last thing you want to do is fall asleep or take a nap. At least that's how I was. Because you don't want to miss anything. Something important might happen. But rest is needed when we're young. And we need rest as adults too, amen? Because we can get so involved in ministry, so involved in serving, that we don't take time to rest. And friends, that's why I believe God gave us the Sabbath, the special day, time away from work, time away from worry, time to be with family, time to be with God, to rest in Jesus and His work to save us. For my friends, as we follow God's instructions and we rest in our lives and we rest on the Sabbath, we glorify God. And we glorify God through Christ because we're no longer trying to save ourselves when we're resting on Sabbath. Because on Sabbath, this is a day where God says, I don't want you to work. I don't want you to do any great things. And then when Sabbath ends, when this 24-hour period ends, God says to you and I, on this day, when you didn't get anything done, when you didn't make any money, when you didn't accomplish any great things, I love you just as much this day when you did nothing as all those other 6 days of the week when you accomplished wonderful things and conquered the world. Because God wants you to know that His love for you is not based on what you do. And that's what Sabbath is supposed to teach us, if we'll let it. If we're not careful, we make it all about the things we do or don't do. But in reality, it's about God's love and His grace, amen? So as elders and as members, we are called to glorify God in all things, even in our rest. I've been in school most of my life, as I think back to those years. The most important lessons were learned throughout the time. I was in grade school, up to college, and then working on a master's class. Classes, I should say. I've sat in a lot of rooms and I listened to a lot of professors. Learned a lot through that time. But maybe the most important lessons I learned came back in kindergarten. When it comes to following God, when it comes to serving Christ, maybe we all need to go back to kindergarten. Last year, I was privileged to speak College View Academy's Week of Prayer. And so I was there every morning to speak to the kids. I spoke to the high schoolers, to the middle schoolers, and then even the kindergartners on up. And it's interesting to watch their reactions to things because it's different depending on how old they are. Just about every day I would ask volunteers to help me out, to come up front and help me. So I would ask the high schoolers, raise your hand if you'd like to volunteer to help me today. And they looked at me like, you know how early it is in the morning. It's too early to raise a hand this morning. Pretty soon they're nominating each other. You do it. No, Brittany, do it. No, you do it. And finally I had to draft somebody to come up. And then the middle schoolers, I'd ask them, would one of you like to come up here and help me? Who wants to help? And a few hands would go up, kind of sheepishly. But then I got the lower classes, the young kids, and I said, who wants to help? Who would like to volunteer today? And man, look out. Like every hand went up. Me, pick me. I thought arms were going to pop out of sockets. Reaching up. I thought some of them were going to start levitating. Try and pick me. What about us? When we're called to get involved, volunteer. Come on, be honest. What if I were to ask for a volunteer here today? Most of you would be like, oh man, wasn't I supposed to help with potluck downstairs? I got to be somewhere. Or some of you would be like, oh, I dropped something under the pew. Let me get out of his line of sight so he can't pick me. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, the greatest of you shall be your servant. I think it's time for us. It's time for all of us to learn from our kindergartners. To regain that zeal for serving and to get in the game. It's time for all of us to have that desire again to help another, to give. Are we willing today? Are we willing today to be a servant of the Lord, to follow Jesus? My friends, let's follow Christ all the way. All the way, even if it means going back to kindergarten. Today, before we have our closing song, we're going to have a very special prayer of ordination for our new elders. We have two new elders that we're going to ordain today, and we have a new head elder that we're going to ordain today. So I'd like to encourage all of you, because with the ordination prayer, it's not just the leaders of the church, it's not just the pastors that are asking for the blessing. It's all of us, amen? In the Bible, it was the church that asked for the blessing on the leaders. So these folks have answered the call to be an elder. So I'd like to invite Pastor Ryan to come here to the front. We're going to ask for God's blessing upon him. And also Dr. Brian Wheeling. I'd like to invite Dr. Brian to come up. And I want you guys to bring your families too, because this is a family church. And so I would like to have the Wheelings come forward and the Watsons as well. And then Leon Hill has agreed to be our head elder for this next month. So Betty, you come on up too. And then all of our elders and pastors that we have here with us. We're going to gather around these folks and we're going to pray for them and ask the Lord to bless them. So if you're an elder, if you've been an elder, I'd like to just have you come up to the front. We're going to pray for these folks and ask the Lord's blessing. So if you guys want to come down here and kneel down, and we'll have Leon, we'll have you come right down there, and Ryan and Brian, bring your families up, and elders, I want you just to kind of gather around them, and we're going to ask for a blessing. And folks, this is an important thing. You're going to be praying for the leaders of your church, asking God to fill their lives so that they can serve all of us here. So at this time, why don't we kneel down as we're able? And gather around them and put a hand on one of these folks, on Leon, on Pastor Ryan, Dr. Brian. And if you can't get a hand on them, you put a hand on someone who's got a hand. And folks out there, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with us today. And let's ask God to bless in a mighty way. Our wonderful Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you now because you have instructed us to. When people step forward to serve and to lead in your church, Lord, you've asked us to pray especially for them because they have chosen to be on the front lines of this battle of the great controversy. And Lord, we dare not do this ministry on our own power. We cannot do it. So, Lord, we as a church uplift these individuals to you right now. Not because they're perfect, but because they need your grace, Jesus. They need your power, Lord, and able to serve to be able to go back to kindergarten and remember those things that we learned there in order to love like you, Lord, in order to serve like you. Lord, we thank you so much that as a church we bear one another's burdens. And so each person sitting here or kneeling here right now is bearing each of these individuals and their families before you, asking your blessing upon each one, that you will not let Satan have any hold in their family, that you will batter him away. Lord, we uplift each person here right now and thank you that you hear our prayers. And we pray for Pastor Ryan and his family, for Dr. Brian and his family, and for Leon and Betty and their family. And we ask right now, Lord, that you will come upon them with power from on high so that they will be able to minister and serve as you lead them. Lord, may they follow you. Make us servants today, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, each and every one. And now I'd like to invite all of our elders and candidates to kind of come up here on the platform because we're going to do something special here to close out. So you guys are here. That's great. I want you to stay up here, but get out the way. Get up there. We're going to do something different. So on up there. And now, some of you thought that my crazy days were over when I became a pastor. They're not. We're going to try something crazy right now. We're going to sing our closing song, which is one of my favorite songs. It's Make Me a Servant. And it's a song that I think most kids know. So if you're a kid out there, which means if you're shorter than me, look, Adam's already coming up here. He knows he's a kid. If you're a kid, I'd like to invite you to come up here. You're going to help lead us in singing today. So if you're a kid, come on up here. I need the brave ones to come first. And as you guys come up, the others will follow. So if you're a kindergartner, just raise your hand up, say, I'm going, and then grab another kid on your way. Come on up here. We're going to sing Make Me a Servant. We're going to sing it three times. And as we sing it, we're going to sing the first verse, and we're going to have the kids sing the first verse, okay? And then the second verse, we're going to have all of you sing the second verse that are out there. And then when we're done with the second verse, we're going to all sing together, amen? So come on, even some of you up there in the cheap seats, we got time. You can zip on down here, and you can come up here and sing. Thank you, brave ones, for being willing to come up here. If there's any other kids who want to come, I'll give you time. There's another one. Race on up here. You've been sitting too long anyway. So come on up here. Let's sing what it means to be a servant. And to our elders and to our leaders, I hope that as the kids sing, you'll take these words to heart. All of us, may we take these words to heart. May God make us servants today. Let's sing. Will you bow your heads with me now? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you now humbly because each of us here wants to be your servant. And Lord, you showed us how we can live lives of service because you came here. You didn't just give us a book to read about being a servant. You came here. And Lord Jesus, you lived a life of service for each of us. So these elders who've been ordained today, so these children who've answered the call to come up and sing today, to every person, Lord, who stands here today, may we answer your call. May we allow you in our hearts, Lord, wash us clean today, creating us a new heart, a heart willing to give, a heart willing to follow, a heart that will serve. Lord, we thank you that we can do all these wonderful things because of you and only you. So we give you all the praise and glory today. And as we leave this place, Lord, may we leave renewed. May we leave with hearts ready to serve our world and tell someone else about the greatest service from Jesus Christ. And all those willing to serve said, Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful Sabbath day.